the book of Psalms 78. The message entitled it, Go Forward. Amen. Go forward. Look at somebody and say, go forward. Amen. The devil never fights you over your past. He's fighting you about your future. But tonight you have victory over him, and God is exhorting us to go forward. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 78 and verse 9.
The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle.
The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Amen. Praise the Lord. The children of Ephraim, carrying the bow and being armed, turned back in the day of battle. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in battle. You have three enemies. You have Satan, who is your enemy. You have the second enemy called the world. James 4 speaks about that. And then you have your own flesh trying to battle with your spirit. But in the day of battle, doesn't matter whether your battle is with the devil himself or your struggle with the world, the temptation of the world, where one of your friends says, Machu, come on, let's smoke a cigarette. And you feel tempted. Well, the secretary in the office gives you the wink. And suddenly you forget your wife, you forget your family, and you think, oh my God. It doesn't matter what your battle is, what your struggle is. Never turn back in the day of battle. If you will stand your ground, the victory is yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why did Ephraim turn back in the day of battle? The tribe of Israel, Ephraim, a nation that belonged to God, when they faced battle, even though they were equipped, they turned back. Why? Psalm 78, verse 10.
They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law.
Amen. In other words, they said no to the scriptures. They said no to the Bible. In the day of battle, they forgot the word of God, the covenant of God. You remember Jesus in the wilderness? When he was tempted by the devil for 40 days? Not one time did the Lord say, I cast you out, devil. No, Jesus battled him with the word of God. Are you with me? In the day of battle, we are in the day of battle. In the day of battle, never forget God's word. Hold God's word in your heart. Speak it out through your mouth. Confess the promise of God. And the devil will flee. The bondage will break. Your faith will arise. Your healing will manifest. And the presence of the Lord will come down. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's your temptation with? Do you know that in the Bible, there are only 1,200 chapters? 1,200 chapters in the Bible. If you read 10 chapters a day, You finish the Bible in 4 months. The newspaper that I read, it's got 16 pages. And sometimes we read every part of the newspaper. Even the people who died, we look through. Is our name there? chapters, 10 chapters of the Bible a day helps you to finish the word, reading the word in 4 months. Can you imagine that? 4 months. The children of Ephraim, they backslid or they turned back because they did not give regard to God's word. Let me tell you, no matter how hard the temptation is, what the struggle is, listen to God's word. Read God's word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One man of God, he came to me and he said to me, Pastor, I keep the Bible playing all through the night. And when I get up in the morning, I feel refreshed. There must be at least 40 to 50 chapters. He says, I place it on my iPod on a small speaker and I keep it playing in my room. I don't hear it all. I go to sleep. But I don't know what happens. It must be affecting my subconscious mind. Because when I get up in the morning, I feel kind of energized. I don't get up feeling tired and weak and miserable and defeated and frustrated. I get up feeling good, ready to praise the Lord, ready to face another day, ready to go forth and see the victory of the Lord manifested on my life. Praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 78, verses 11, 12, and 14. It says there, the 11th verse says, they forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them. Look at somebody and say, don't forget what God has done for you in the past. Amen. In other words, see, you know, when you forget, when God does something for you, when you forget to thank Him and praise Him and sing songs to Him, you will forget that which He has done. They stopped praising the Lord. They stopped singing to the Lord. I'm not speaking about you coming to church and singing. We all do. Some of us very miserably. We all do. But I'm speaking about in your personal life, in your home, in your workplace, in your car. Don't forget your song. You might not have got the opportunity to marry the dream boy of your life. You might not have got that job in the Google where you wanted to work. You might not have got your visa to go to Australia. You might not have finished your building of your house. You might not have been able to buy the chandelier to put in your drawing room. But if there can be 5 good reasons at the end of the day for you to praise God, you will never backslide. You will go forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gratefulness is a habit. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Open your mouth and say, in everything, give thanks. Say that again, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. Can you imagine that? In everything, in everything, in everything, in everything. In everything, give thanks. Sometimes when you go to a government office or certain offices, you will find there will be a box called complaint box. Some people are perpetual complaint boxes. They can only look at something in their lives that is not right or something to feel miserable and just complain. And they always carry this huge complaint box with them. The minute they see a man of God, they will sit in front of him and say, look, Pastor, I've been coming to church for 10 years. And see, this itching in my left toe is not gone. And when you say, don't worry, brother, we'll pray for that itching to go. And when you pray, then they'll open another one the next week. And say, Pastor, look what my mother-in-law did to me. Praise the Lord. Are you a complaint box? Praise the Lord. Are you somebody who will thank the Lord at least every day? Just actually, this is a very simple message. Every day to look into your life and have five things that you can say at the end of the day. Lord, I thank you that I am alive. I thank you, Lord, that I have not gone completely bald. There's still hair in my head. Are you with me? Lord, I thank you. I mean, look at five things that God has done for you and thank Him. Praise the Lord. Gratefulness is a habit. When you learn it, you will go forward. Praise the Lord. You won't turn back. Amen. Amen. Psalm 78, verse 17.
But they sinned even more against Him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness.
Yes, look at Ephraim. They sinned yet more against Him. They sinned again and again and again. You know, I was meditating on a word today, and I was wanting to preach that actually. And one of the points was about the presence of God. And suddenly I realized that the presence of the Lord has to be there in your life. The presence of God is never there with the prodigal son. The presence of God is never there with the, you know, the proud sinner. The proud sinner. And the presence of God is never there with the pretending seducers. I'll explain. God our Father did not go behind the prodigal son, waited for him to come back. Are you with me? The proud sinner, the guy who will sin again and again and again and again and will stand with such pride. The presence of God will not be there with you. There are people who fall into sin, who are tempted, who struggle, who fall down, but who will get up, kneel down and say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I don't want to do this again. Please, I repent of that. I humble myself before your hand. Lord, please forgive me. And God will forgive you. And His presence will return back to you. But somebody who's proud, who does everything wrong, and then stands forth like that, let me tell you, over a period of time, you will find the presence of God, the tangible presence of God, missing in your life. The children of Ephraim turned back because they were proud sinners. They sinned and they said, what have we done wrong? What have we done wrong? We sinned, so what? Everybody does it. We sinned, so what? It might be some generational curse. We sinned, yeah. So what? The pretending seducer, the one who will deceive, the one who will seduce, the one who will, you know, is deceitful. The presence of God is not there with them. People who will manipulate, people who will, you know, charm you through into deception, the presence of God is never there. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. But tonight, hallelujah, we're going to learn from this and say, Lord, I don't want to be a proud sinner. I don't want to keep repeating my sin again and again. I want to turn back to you. I want to walk with you. I want to have your presence in my life. Nothing matters to me more than your presence, Lord. You say that from your heart and the glory of God will fill your life. Amen. Lift your hand and thank Him for that. Hallelujah. Psalm 78, verse 18. Psalm 78, verse 18.
And they tested God in their hearts by asking for the food of their fancy.
They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They said no to self-control. They said no to self-control. They just gave in to all their cravings. All their lust. One version says cravings. Every time they crave something, you know, sometimes people on the Facebook, they say, feel like having a coffee, feel like having a drink, feel like smoking. And they go smoke. They drink. They give into their cravings. Time and again, you find a generation that is quick to give into their cravings. You feel like eating biryani? Boom, buy the biryani. There's nothing wrong with biryani. Are you with me? There was this footballer called Oliver Kahn. Have I heard of him? I think it was 2002 World Cup. He was a German goalkeeper. He had not conceded a single goal into the goalpost, except in the final. One goal. He was the greatest hero after the World Cup. His wife was pregnant. He came back after the World Cup. And then he went and slept with a waitress. And the media caught him. And then he says, I didn't have self-control. Proverbs 25 verse 28. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 25 verse 28.
Whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls.
Somebody who does not have rule over their spirit is like a city
broken down without walls.
Without walls. Read on. It's a city broken down without walls. You have everyone or everything attacking you all the time. You're trying to fight that, you're trying to fight this. Then the thief comes through this side, you're trying to put him out there, and then some other problem comes from this side. You're trying to catch that out. A perpetual struggle. Tonight, ask the Holy Spirit more than anything else, more than your visit to US, ask Him to give you the fruit of self-control in your life. Are you with me? That you don't just give in to every kind of craving. That you don't just give in to everything that you want. That you learn to discipline your spirit. Because you understand that everything matters on self-control. Lord, I need self-control. I don't want to turn back. I don't want to go back. On the day of battle, I want to go forward. I want to finish the race. I want to keep my faith. And I want to have a testimony towards the end of my life, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 26, 39 to 41. Jesus in the garden was praying. Say, Jesus was praying. And his three friends, his disciples, Peter, James, and John were sleeping. Who was praying? Jesus was praying. Who was sleeping? Peter, James, and John. Those three guys were sleeping. Jesus said in the garden while he was praying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what did Jesus do? He prayed. The Peter, James, and John might have also said the same thing. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So, where's the potapa? Let me go to sleep. So when the soldiers came and Judas came, who stood?
Jesus stood.
Who ran?
Peter, James, and John ran. Praise the Lord. Even when the enemy comes with a kiss or with a sword, you will stand when you pray. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Are you with me? We have Jesus as an example. We look to Jesus Christ as an example. When you are tempted, don't say, the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. So somebody else, please pray. You pray. Are you with me? You pray. A praying Christian won't backslide. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to get up and pray. Some of your temptation will be to get up in the morning. You set the alarm on your phone. It rings and you often then go to sleep again. The alarm rings, somebody comes and wakes you up and says, pray. It's a 5 more minutes, and you turn around and sleep. And then when you get up at 10 o'clock, there is no manna. Because the manna is only in the early hours of morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there were two cricketers of our times. One was Virendra Sehwag and Sachin Tendulkar. Sachin Tendulkar's hero was, Sehwag's hero was Tendulkar. So he used to go every day and practice for 4 hours to bat like Tendulkar. Every day, 4 hours he used to practice. I want to drive the cricket ball like Tendulkar. He used to do that. And then people would come to watch after some time, Sehwag play. Because he looked to his hero and learned. We look to Jesus, our hero, and we don't learn. We look to Jesus for some time on a Friday. Close your eyes. Look to Jesus. Then also we'll be looking there, here, as pastor come, who is preaching today, what's happening, and then we close our eyes. But look to Jesus and learn. In the early hours of morning, the Lord would get up and go and pray. In the night watches, he would sit up through the night and pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A praying Christian will always go forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. None of you are excited tonight. Are you? Psalm 78 verse 32.
In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works.
In spite of this, they sinned still and believed not. In other words, they said no to common sense. You look at the scriptures after that, it's speaking about how the Lord would provide them with manna from heaven. How the Lord opened the Red Sea for them. How the Lord brought water for them from the rock. How the Lord saved them from the fiery serpents in the sand that came and bit them. How the Lord protected them with a cloud covering during the day and fire in the clouds during the night. But in spite of all this, they became senseless. They lost their common sense. They couldn't thank the Lord, or they couldn't say, I'm going to still keep following the Lord. They just kept grumbling, mumbling, and they said, listen, we should have gone back. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes you speak to a backslider. He doesn't even think straight. You can't tell him how much God has been kind to him, merciful to him, but he can't remember anything. He can only think of how his little
Toothache didn't go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for common sense. Help me to come to my sense. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say that. Say, Lord, I pray for common sense. Awaken my mind. Release my mind from the clutches of the enemy. Release me to understand the magnitude of your mercies and your grace over my life. Release my mind, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to walk sensibly, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and pray. Open your mouth and say that to the Lord tonight. Amen. Psalm 78 and verse 57. And I close with that. Psalm 78 verse 57.
But turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. And they turned aside like a deceitful bow.
Can you mind that? They became like a deceitful bow. They were armed for battle, they had a bow. You know what? It was a deceitful bow. You're supposed to put the arrow and shoot, and it'll go straight. But when they shoot, it'll hit them back. So faulty bow. There are many, you are called to, you know, stand in faith and resist the devil, but you resist God. Are you with me? You got a faulty bow. That cancer did not come from God, it came from the devil. But if you think that God put it, then how can you resist it? A faulty bow is, you are aiming for the devil, you are aiming against the enemy, but it hits your friend. Many times people with a faulty bow, they forget who the real enemy is. They are either fighting the pastor or finding some fault with another believer or with somebody else in the church. You got a faulty bow. You know why that happened? Because in their hearts they had said no to soldier work. They just wanted to dress up smart, look decent, you know, for style. You know, for style, some of you, sometimes you carry a knife, a gun for style. They just wanted the bow for style. Not to fight the enemy, just for style. You really don't want to be a soldier for Jesus. You really don't want to serve the Lord. You go through the motions, you carry your Bible, you come, you speak in tongues, you look comfortable, you get up and go. But real soldier work, it's worth following Jesus. Are you with me? It's worth serving Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is exhorting a church to rise up to soldier work. Amen. To stand up and say, I'm gonna stand in the gap. I'm gonna stand with my brother, with my sister. I'm gonna stand with my pastor. We're gonna be as one church, stand together and see revival come to our church. We're gonna pray for God's glory to be manifested, for the sickness to be broken off, for demons to be cast out, for the victory of the Lord to be manifested forth. We're gonna stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Years back, I used to preach and I used to say one thing which a man of God said, you've got to live one life, make it count for Jesus. Serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, I was praying whether we should start a youth service and the Lord said, yes, you know, start a youth service very fast. And I said, Lord, why? And the Lord said, you know, I want young donkeys. When you study scripture, when Jesus wanted to go into Jerusalem, he said, bring that young donkey. Because old donkeys want to retire. Now they got their families, children, responsibilities, jobs, all that. You know, they just want to retire and, you know, it's too much of a stress now. So we just want to take it easy. But we got soldier work. Any youngsters here who's willing to go for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Willing to be a donkey for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To carry Jesus Christ is the biggest opportunity and the biggest privilege you can have. Carry him into your schools, into your colleges, into the streets. Carry him into the church. Praise the Lord. To carry Jesus. Because there are many who are playing church. But God says, after some time they will want to turn back. They don't want to go forward. They don't want to press on. But tonight's word is, go forward. Are you with me? Let's close our eyes and pray tonight.